Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with How to Fight with Your Faith.
You got to know, listen, that God is sovereign even over our government. That's what I want you to see. That's who our eyes are supposed to be on anyway. Amen. So you got to keep speaking the word and declaring the word. 2 Corinthians 4:13. You can jump in here any way you want to, Pastor Marshall. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I what? Spoken. We believe and therefore speak. So what do we speak? Look at this. Two things. We speak what is what? Written. We have the same spirit of faith, of course, as written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. I speak what is written, and I speak what I believe, because I believe what is written. Now, what you believe and what's written ought to be one and the same. Because what we believe has to have a basis in the logos in the written word of God. Now, you need to understand, this is how the spirit of faith works. This is how you work your faith. You have to say what you believe. I know a lot of this is basic stuff for us, but in the midst of your trial, you can forget this. I know you know it, but you're not being hit with something right now. You haven't received that bad doctor's report. But do you believe that he was wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquity, that he took upon himself the chastisement of your peace, and by his stripes you are healed? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you got to say that when you get the doctor's report. That don't mean you cuss the doctor out and tell the doctor he a liar. Amen. The doctor is giving you the facts based upon this three-dimensional world. He's giving you the facts based upon natural evidence. But we know he's giving you the fact based upon what is seen, diagnosed. Based what the test says, what the x-ray says, what the MRI says, what the CAT scan says. He's speaking the facts. But the truth of God's word supersedes natural facts. So you got to speak the truth despite the facts. Now, what do you mean, Pastor, speak the truth? Jesus said, I believe it's John 17:17. Okay. I believe that's it. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. What's truth? That word is truth. So the word is truth. The calculator is facts. Okay? Your counting is facts. Amen. The medical report is facts. You got to exalt the truth over the facts. The word says, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So I have to keep speaking the truth. Go back to that scripture of 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it's written. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now you don't understand. We're not talking superstition, because superstitious people tell you don't do this because you'll jinx it. You say stuff like, "I'll never be broke another day in my life." I wouldn't say that if I was you. Well, you don't have the spirit of faith. Because I have that's why I say it, because I have the spirit of faith. Amen. Watch this. I heard y'all, some of you heard me tell this story. Years ago, when I was like 17, all through my teenage years, I got strep throat every year. Every year, I would get strep throat. And I remember when I was like 17, I remember I was a senior in high school, I went to the doctor, and I've been seeing the same doctor for several years. He said, now, Herbie said, if you get strep throat again next year, I'm taking your tonsils out. Okay. Now, at that point, I had never even had a broken finger, never had surgery. And so surgery sounds scary to me. So I made him, I got to get my tonsils up. No, we ain't taking nothing out. Okay. And I don't care what y'all say. I don't care what the doctors say. They would tell me you don't need it. Now, do you really think God gave us stuff we don't need? Now, he gave us some extras. I found that out. Really, he gave us some spare ones. Really, I mean, I found out when I had this, parathyroid, they said you got four of them, and they said you can function fine with one, okay? So he gave us some extra ones, okay, at least according to them. But I made up my mind, I said, I was so scared. I said it based upon fear of having tonsils a tonsillectomy. I said, I'm not getting them. I'm not getting a sore throat. I will never get. And so whenever I even felt one coming on, boy, y'all back in the day, I don't know what you're using now. We get that salt, get that warm water, put some salt. Get that, what's that green, what's that, what was that? Chloroseptic, thank you. I got to recall cholesterolseptic. Chloroseptic. I was sprayed. I wasn't getting a sore throat. And I can honestly tell y'all, I haven't had a sore throat since 17. Because I made up my mind I wasn't getting sore throat anymore. Okay? I know your words got power. Some of y'all haven't heard this story, so let me tell y'all. When I, I'm 10 years now this year since I had heart surgery. Well, after I had the heart surgery, the year I had the heart surgery, 2006 or 2005, our Columbia Heart Center down there right by Richland, down off Beltline, okay? That was the newest hospital in the city now, Park Ridge. That was the newest hospital. And they put it up, and they put nice palmetto palm trees out in front of it and all that. And I said, man, that hospital looks so nice, make me want to spend a night there. Said it in jest, didn't think about it again, and kept on moving. After I had my heart surgery, I started having some pain. And come to find out, I had a condition called pericarditis, which is fluid that was starting to surround my heart. And so I was in so much pain, I went to the doctor, and he said, I need to put you in the hospital. Guess where he put me? He put me in the heart hospital, in the hospital. And guess how long I was there? One night. I spent the night in the hospital, and the next morning, I got discharged. And the Lord reminded me, you said that hospital looked so nice, they make you want to spend a night. So you had what you said. So every time I ride by the hospital, I say, you know, that's the ugly hospital. That is the ugliest hospital. Boy, I would never want to spend a night in any of these hospitals. These hospitals are ugly. Because even though we heard something yesterday, even though you say stuff in jest, okay, we watched some doctors yesterday. There was this woman, it was so sad. She was brutally attacked by Rottweilers. Brutally attacked by Rottweilers. And as a result, I mean, her arms, and they bit her crotch area. They bit her rectum area. And just chewed her up, and now she has one arm. She was in a coma for like 5 weeks or 5 days, whatever. And it was an awful situation. And she's so now traumatized. The thought of telling the story makes her almost relive and have a nervous breakdown all over again. Well, they have a hypnotist on there. The bottom line, all the hypnotist does, he changes their thinking. He changes their thinking. And he said something that I've told y'all too. He said, your nervous system does not know the difference between reality and imagination. Let me say that again. Your nervous system, your body system does not know the difference between reality and imagination. I'm going to prove this to you. Any of y'all ever had a bad dream and you woke up and your heart was beating real fast? It wasn't happening, but your body didn't know the difference. See? So that's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So your body starts responding the way you're thinking. You think healed, your body starts responding healed. You think sick, your body starts responding sick. This man, he didn't quote scripture. He didn't say nothing about Jesus. He declared this fact that your body and your nervous system does not know the difference between reality and imagination. So he took this woman and talked to her, and he worked with her. He changed the images in her mind when she said dog. He changed the images, and he started with a little pet, with a little fur. You know what I'm talking about? Stuffed animal. That's a little one. And at first she was freaking out about it. He said, no, no, no. He said, say it again. Dogs are my friend. I love dogs. Dogs can't hurt me. Nothing can happen to me. And then he worked up to a bigger stuffed animal. Then he worked up to a little toy. When I say toy, I mean it's a live dog, but they call them toy when it's so small that you put in a pocketbook. He took that out. And he had a pet that. And then right on the show, he brought out Solomon. Really, a dog that looked just like my dog Solomon. The dog was over 100 pounds, a big German Shepherd. And he had her petting this dog. This same woman who was having a nervous breakdown before, because as a man thinketh, so is he. Your confession, how'd you get saved? You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, your innermost being. You confess. And so when your mind lines up and your confession lines up, when your innermost being lines up with what you say, it's going to bring about manifestation in your life. I want to say something about that.
Going back to confession, you know, when something is done wrong, and the police comes in, they want to hear, and you say, "Well, I admit to it." You're giving them your confession, right? You're saying this is true. When you confess the word of God by law and by principle, you're saying this is true. Okay, the principle of confession. So you're saying, even though the word of God, and we also read in Psalms 91, on the latter part of the fourth verse from the New Living Translation, said, "His faithful promises are your armor and protection." When you confess the promises of God, you putting on armor.
Excuse me, put that up, media. Psalms 91 and verse 4, the New Living Translation.
You're putting on your armor and you're putting on your protection. So many of us have guns in our home. That's our protection. The only time we pull it out, if we're threatened.
His faithful armor, his faithful promises are your armor and protection.
The word of God is are the promises of God. So when I confess the word of God, I'm saying this is true. If I say, my needs shall be supplied according to his, he supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory. So the promise of God, a provision, and I confess it, I'm saying this is true to my lack. That he will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. I agree. Even though I'm not saying I agree, under the principle of confession, the definition of confession, the rule of confession, I'm saying to everything that's trying to hinder my prosperity and my provision, even though this is happening in my life, this is what I agree to. So you're signing what you mean. Okay, you're writing your statement. You're declaring your statement. So if I don't pick up the promises, I have no armor and I have no protection. We're spiritual warfare. So sometimes the only time we pick up our armor is when we get a hit.
And our armor is not only offensive, it's defense.
Defense is the word of God. But if we're in spiritual warfare, shots are being fired every day. I just didn't get hit today.
That's good.
So if I want to avoid getting hit, I got to say this is what I agree to my life every day. So that I'm not only operating on a defensive, I'm in the offensive, and I'm also in a protective stance. Nobody goes out to war without their gun, without their helmet, without their armor. You know, when the police was very concerned about their life, they all put on bulletproof vests, even though shots weren't fired. But they were protected from shots. So as believers, if we don't release our confession every day, we have no protection against the shots being fired. So unfortunately, sometimes we get so caught off guard with peacetime, what it looks like to us. It's just that we're not in the line of fire. So Satan would love to get us deceived thinking shots on fire. So many times when we confess in the word, we're trying to pull the bullet out. We're wounded. But to prevent the wound, we got to put the armor of God on. And the armor of God is what I say every day. And so what we can't get caught off our guard when we think it's not working because certain things is happening. Can you imagine, for those of you who confess God's word over your life every day, if you did not confess the word of God, what would pop off and break loose in your life? Because the word said it's our protection. And it's our armor. So we got to pick the word of God every day and put it in our mouth. If we don't say it, we won't see it, as pastors say. But also, our life will eventually rise to the level of our confession. You also have said that,
right,
too.
I've likely the rise or fall,
right,
to the level of our confession.
And so, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. You know, even with 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, talks about how they believe and therefore spoken. Basically saying, regardless, if you know, the previous verses, they're going through all kinds of stuff. You know, we were crushed but not destroyed. So they're going through. So even though my life has looked like this, this is my experience. We believe and therefore,
yeah,
we speak. So when lack comes in my life, I don't stop speaking. I believe in that provision of God. Why? So therefore I speak. So when things happen, don't stop speaking the word. If you stop speaking the word, then you're saying you really don't believe. And so depending on our paradigm, depending on how much time we became proficient in negativity, we have to come back up on this. We have to really get back to this place. Let's say life, the word of God is truth, and also the word of God is life, right? And as believers, God has commissioned us to speak life regarding our life every day. If we're not speaking life, and he's given us the word of life, what are we not doing? So basically, we allow the word to dictate our life. But back over again, if you allow me to say, going back, you always say this, you know, everything is rooted back in Genesis. Basically, as we get born again, in a sense, he's placed us in a garden. And we got to declare and decree, and we got to speak, and we got to keep our garden. Yeah, as a mom,
the word is the tree of life.
Right, the word is the tree of life. So as a mom, I keep my garden, my responsibility, the things that he's given me charge over. As a husband, he's given you charge over certain things. So when Satan shows up, and Satan showed up in the garden, I got to handle Satan with the word of God. We got to handle Satan with the word of God. If we don't speak it, we won't see it, and Satan has a field day in our lives. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just tired of seeing Satan doing whatever he wants to do. And how we're going to handle the next couple of years or several years or what have you, because the earth is on a downward cycle. I believe that enough believers get up and put the word of God in their mouth and begin to charge the angels and begin to handle the atmosphere, we'll begin to see what God has promised us, of how we're going to see and how we're going to live.
Amen. Let's end with Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood. That's everything that the blood has made available to us. And by the word of their testimony, Pastor Dollar should teach this, and by their word of their testimony about the blood, about what the blood has done, about what the blood has made available to us. That's how we overcome. Whatever the devil throws at, we overcome it by saying, hey, the blood has made this available to me. The blood has made prosperity available. The blood has made healing available to me. And I confess that I am healed by that blood. I confess that I am made rich by that blood. That I have peace of mind by the blood of Jesus. One of the pastors who was here last week, he called me today. I was talking today. He wants me. He asked if we can please send him a copy of our declarations that we pray before the service in our corporate prayer. Some of you don't know because some of y'all don't even get here till like after praise and worship. Yeah, I could never have y'all start the service for us because you don't know what we do when we start. Okay, but our pre-service prayer, we make confessions and we declare what we have by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And so keep the word in your mouth. That's one of the ways you fight with your faith. You keep speaking the word of God, exalt the word of God until it changes your mind, until it changes the way you feel about it, until it changes the way you look at it, that you only start seeing things through the word of God. You know, I'm a little frustrated with myself the way I preach and teach. Because, you know, I mean, the way I teach, you know, I know sometimes y'all think I use too many scriptures. I wish I didn't do this either. But when I everything I think through the word. So it's like when I say something, I'm like, okay, now what scripture say that? That's how, I mean, I have programmed my mind to think the word. So when I hear something, I even know now, if I hear something I've never heard before, I don't immediately reject it. I say, now, does the word support that? If the word doesn't support that, I don't take that. Okay? If the word support that, I can think of that, and I can think about several other things. So you keep speaking, and the more you renew your mind on the word, the more you always speak the word without, watch it, you're speaking the word without quoting scripture. I don't know if you caught that. You're not saying, thus saith the Lord, you know, over in Jude 2 and 1 Corinthians 5 and 8. No, you're just speaking the word because it's just part of how you think, and the word backs up what you're saying because what you're saying is backed up by the word. Amen?
And you have to believe. You have to believe what you're saying. Okay? And so only way you begin to believe what you're saying is you get your mind renewed on the word of God. I love what Pastor Dr. Freeman said. The atmosphere, people said, well, I don't have to come to church. I don't want to go back to something you said in the beginning, which proof of what you believed when the Lord told you, told you, by default it was us, you know, not to get on free lunch, and because we didn't qualify for a reduced lunch. We qualify for free lunch.
Let me tell all our business.
I just want to make it clear, free.
I thought it was just reduced.
Free lunch. You know, and the Lord told him not to do those things. And if your faith is not there, you know, you can't jump on what he say. Because if you don't believe that, you won't receive that. So he believed that. But what kept him believing, the proof of him believing that, he kept coming to church when we had those cutoff notices and when we had those lights off. Those things did not stop us from going to church. This is what we do.
Didn't stop us from tithing either.
Right. We kept doing those things. Because what happens in the atmosphere, even though we say we don't have to come to church, Dr. Freeman said this and said it very clear, that this atmosphere bathes your soul.
Mm. And what's your soul?
It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you come to church, even though your life is just going through, you get in this atmosphere. You might not, can't even put two words together. You probably don't even feel like you're in your right mind. But when you get in this atmosphere, there's a Holy Ghost soap and Holy Ghost water. And it will begin to bathe your mind, your will, and the emotions, giving you the capacity and positioning you to have the ability to believe the word of God. But if you don't come to church, you find yourself in this downward cycle, in the wheel like the hamster is, which is why people give up. Because you're not being faithful. You're not in the atmosphere. You're just going around in circles and circles and circles. And then eventually you say, I'm not going anywhere. This is not working. The reason why you're not going anywhere is not working because God still today has not come up with anything to replace the church.
Right. And that's why, you know, that's why David says in Psalm 37, he said, I was envious at the wicked when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, and my feet had not slipped. I almost backslid. I almost like just went back. He said, until I went into the house of God, then I understood their end.
Right.
When I got in this round, then it got my mind together.
Right.
It watch it. Nothing changed.
Right.
The circumstances didn't change. But he changed.
Right.
But he changed. The wicked was still prospering from his eyes. But it didn't move him anymore. Because when he got in the house of God, then he got understanding and was able to see this from God's perspective.
Yeah. Which is why when our children grow up, they're full of the word.
Yeah.
Why? Because they come, even though they come in, they don't feel like coming. They're just sitting there. The Holy Ghost water and soap works on anybody. So even though your child may not be right, don't be embarrassed. Don't tell them to stay home. Bring them to church and let the atmosphere and let the word of God and let the anointing work on them. No matter what lifestyle they're in, allow your young people to come to church. Gay or straight, thug or serious, let them come to church. The word will work on them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And we thank you, Father, that you are teaching us how to fight with our faith. Right now, Father, in this room, there are many battles that people are facing. Some of them are facing a battle in their finances. Some are facing a battle a custody battles or other legal battles. Some are facing battles on their job regarding employment. Some of them are facing battles regarding claims. Some are facing battles in their mind. Some are facing battles of strife.
Are you living your best life? You can live above the natural and expect the supernatural. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that God can do extraordinary things in your life and cause you to live supernaturally. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Living a Supernatural Life. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.